Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Now, what is this? This,
this is the best band ever. Creed.
Is this AI?
I would imagine. Yes.
He didn't like Scott Stapp. The great Scott Stapp didn't step into the booth and record this himself.
I would not put it past him.
This is pretty good.
It is. It flows very well.
It does. I mean, not that Scott Stapp needs any help flowing well. I mean,
yeah, I know. I was wondering what they were going to do for the chorus, and it's coming here.
All right, let's hear it. Crank it up.
Oh, Santa came to say, can you take me higher?
They kind of left it.
Tremendous.
To a place where snowmen see, can you take me higher?
It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. And if you don't like Christmas music, then stuff it for a week and a half. Yeah, who doesn't like Christmas music?
Some people don't. They get annoyed.
I don't want Christmas music on my sports station.
Oh. Well, then go crawl under a rock and come out in a week and a half.
Okay.
It's Christmas season.
It's true. I mean, this is... It's,
we're going to get that. And I'm going to go to Stiz with a list of requests. I think we...
Okay.
Host one and host two should get a few requests.
Yeah, yeah. And if there's any Twitchers or Texters, feel free. At Stiz Grimy, hit
what
me
you
up.
Want to hear.
Yeah,
I don't really ever feel the need to request Christmas music because everywhere you go, it's just playing all the time. Like, there's no need to be like, I want to hear this song. You're going to hear it.
But aren't there certain
just
ones?
Just wait a few seconds and it just comes on. Like, that's, I don't know, that's how I feel about it. I always feel like the world is a Christmas jukebox around this time of year. There's
as
not really
be.
Anything you have to do. Yeah. Right, yeah.
But there are some forgotten favorites, and I think Stiz may recall I have a couple from the nighttime show that I will be sending over.
All right, very good.
I don't think he's listening to me right now.
No, probably not.
I got you, Hart.
Okay. You have no idea what I said. You're like my wife.
The Boston Celtics are not playing tonight. They did beat the Washington Wizards, thank God, because you don't want to lose to them, back this weekend. By the way, did you watch any of that game? Did you missed Jordan Poole? Did anyone see this? Jordan Poole gets the ball on like the right wing of the 3-point line extended, and he crosses over on Peyton Pritchard, and Pritchard fell down. He kind of pushed off on him a little bit, but he crossed him up, and he fell down. And instead of taking a wide-open three, Jordan Poole points at Peyton Pritchard, and then he goes to shoot the three, and Sam Hauser, like, in the time it took him to point, Sam Hauser runs over, and he's, like, right in his face.
I hate
that. So Poole just chucks it, and they end up missing the shot. But he had a wide-open three, and instead of just shooting it, he's like, ah, I got you, Pritchard. And then all of a sudden, here comes Sam Hauser, which was nice. It was a nice, nice help defense there. But it was very, very funny.
It's also just,
that's Washington Wizards basketball.
And that's the modern athlete in a lot of places.
In a lot of ways.
Jordan Poole is a special case, I'd
but
say.
There's more of those people than you think in various sports. I've seen it, dropping the ball on the 1-yard line in football because you're too cool to carry it all the way into the end. Like, looking cool for some people has supplanted, I don't know, just scoring points and playing the game the way it's supposed to be played.
So. Go ahead, Andy. Tell us what else is wrong with the younger generation today.
There's a lot wrong with it. And MAGA Hart,
short
white guy with short arms,
Ross
Tucker, is going to sit back and let him talk about the Celtics.
Yeah, you got to rehab your reputation today, by the way.
It was getting questioned on Twitter. Too much,
Somehow I became, I crossed the aisle on social media yesterday.
I saw that, yes.
Now I'm a
Kamala Harris voter?
Apparently.
Yeah. I don't know how that came up.
Guy attacked me.
He also insisted that Drake May voted for Trump, which I don't know if we know that either. I don't think he came out and said that.
What does it matter?
Well, it doesn't matter.
He did insist that.
It mattered to that person on Twitter
very much. I've actually had a lot of...
Your people, by the way.
Well, not according to him.
Not according to him, but according to you.
I'm man of the people in the middle of all the people.
Mm-hmm.
I like to cross the aisle. I put one hand out this way, one hand out this way,
and bridge the gap.
That's what my balls out and chasing the steam.
That is what people say about you. Thank you very much. The reason why NBA ratings are down, and by the way, the Celtics aren't playing tonight, is the final of the NBA Cup between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, which I think those are two pretty entertaining teams. But if you've been watching and reading, then you know that NBA ratings are down about 28% so far this year. And there's been a lot of discussions and a lot of theories as to why that is. The woke mind virus is the big one. You know, well, everybody's woke now. I don't see that slowing down the NFL, by the way. Did you see all those ads for these social justice initiatives that they're doing in the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
It was all weekend. I kept seeing them. And I'm like, wow, I guess being woke doesn't really affect you all that much if you're a wagon like the NFL. Doesn't seem to be affecting them very much. By the way, the NBA, I feel like, has really ramped down on all that stuff in the last couple of years. Like, there was the years in the bubble and everything where they had the slogans on the jerseys and all of that, but I feel like you haven't been seeing much of that at all.
And
I think the NFL still does. The NFL definitely
has those little white...
In the end zones.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have them on the helmets and in the end zones. These slogan, end race. I mean, they're nothing controversial, but to some people, end racism is controversial. So, you know, they call that woke and they don't like it, but it's not hurting the NFL at all.
No, and you pick and choose when you use those two.
That too.
Like,
I agree.
If Trump wasn't going back into office, a lot of things would be looked at differently right now by a lot of different people.
Probably,
but they kind of got what they wanted, so now they're going to shut up and just watch their football games.
The other thing everyone says is ruining the sport, and I think there's a little bit more credence to this, but I don't think this is necessarily it either, is everyone shooting too many threes. Oh, it's just all three-pointers all the time.
Agreed.
People are just chucking threes. The Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
For 8 years, were chucking threes like you wouldn't believe, and I don't remember anybody talking about them ruining the game.
They hit them.
Okay. The Celtics hit their threes.
And you're cherry-picking the examples of teams that shoot the best in the history of the game as a team.
Fine, but that doesn't necessarily
Everyone else still thinks they can do it.
So you don't think that other teams are going to try and do what the successful teams are doing? That's exactly what's going to happen. That's the way the league moves. I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. Square peg in a round hole doesn't fit.
Well, it's not necessarily a square peg in a round hole.
I don't think there's enough good shooters to go around to play the style of basketball that more and more of these teams do want to play to try to compete with the Celtics.
You might be right about that, but there are teams that do, and there are teams that can, and I think that that's fine. Either way, the cream rises to the top. Like, you know, if you're not able to win that way, then they're going to try something else, and it's just going to, you know, continue that way. The Celtics have a team that can do that, and they're always the team that people bring up. Well, the Celtics are the best team, and they shoot too many threes, and it's ruining the sport. The Celtics make their threes.
Yes.
The Celtics are a good three-point shooting team. They're not ruining anything, all right? If you want to say the lesser teams who don't shoot as well are shooting too much, fine. They'll eventually stop doing that. They'll eventually either get better or they'll readjust their offense and try and score in other ways. But I don't think that that's ruining the sport either. What I think the biggest problem the NBA has right now is some of their biggest stars are pushing 40. Some of their biggest stars are European guys who have no personality whatsoever and don't really want to get in front of a microphone and represent the league all that much, in like Jokic and Wembanyama and some of these other guys. You don't really hear too much from them. They're trying to market these stars, but it's hard to in some cases. Luka is a different kid. Luka, I feel like, has a little bit more Q rating, I'd say, than someone like Jokic, who's an unbelievable player. He's one of the best players of all time.
Definitely.
But you can't really market him, you know? You just can't. He doesn't talk. He doesn't really like basketball. He doesn't really want to be there. He just wants to go back and, you know, be with his horses or whatever it is. And I think some of that's a bit of a put on. But when LeBron James, Steph Curry, you know, Kawhi Leonard, these guys are still all NBA players, and they're still the faces of the league, and they're aging out. And the next generation, this happens every, you know, decade or so. You kind of see the Jordan era end, the Bird and Magic era end, and they pass it off to the Bad Boys, and then the Bad Boys pass it off to Chicago, and then, you know, Shaq and Kobe come in after that, and there's always like a dead spot in between. And in the 90s, you definitely had that. In between, you know, the Bulls and the end of them in 97 until you got Shaq and Kobe in like 02 or 03, there was 5 or 6 years where it was Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady and, you know, saw these guys, Paul Pierce, whatever, and they're trying to make their way and establish themselves, and you're seeing that right now. And I think that, in part, it's the marketability of some of the stars, but the other part of it is there's a changing of the guard going on in the league right now, and that traditionally, historically, has always kind of been a dip in ratings when that happens. That's the way it's always been.
Yeah, I think the changing of the guard is definitely part of it. I mean, I think there's layers to this. I absolutely think Jokic being who he is and where he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think West Coast bias, East Coast bias is an actual thing. And having some of your stars on the West Coast and your teams on the West Coast right now, because the East, the Celtics are great. Tatum's a star. They're the defending champs. But Giannis was terrible to start. Well, his team was terrible to start the year. They underperformed. Embiid is toast. in Philly. The Heat are not an elite team. The Knicks are a really good team, but I wouldn't say they have a marquee superstar kind of broad.
Right. I think Brunson's becoming that, but he's not there
yet. But he's not there yet.
He's not there yet.
Like, if you, I always do like the.
He was all NBA last year. I mean, you know.
Right. But the reality is, if I asked my wife who Jalen Brunson is, you know who, what she would say?
Who's
no
that?
Idea.
Yeah, right.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, he's not a superstar.
Not a household
name. She
knows
even LeBron.
Gilgeous Alexander's not
right.
a household
He's not.
Name.
And I think that's a problem, too.
Yeah.
The West, you look at the good teams. Oklahoma City, great young team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a Kevin Durant. They did. They don't. They don't have a Kevin Durant. They don't have a Steph Curry. Those are the people.
They're a lousy market.
They're a lousy market. Yeah. So I think there's layers to kind of piece this all together, and it's where the good teams are, who the great players are, replacing the aging great players.
Yeah.
I also don't know, like, Jason Tatum, should he be the face of the NBA? He said, yes, when I win a title, I should be in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a face of the NBA? Do people love him? Is there a passionate love for Jason Tatum? He's a really great player.
They love him in Boston.
Yes.
People love him in Boston. Is
well,
he
how about
universally
around the country?
Revered? I'd say probably not.
Like on a Steph Curry, LeBron James, like
not the way
true
they, even
star.
Even Giannis. Yeah, no, they don't like him like Giannis.
That's
yeah.
a problem too, because mm-hmm. he should be one of your best, most popular, most marketable, dynamic players, and they're trying. He's got the shoes, he's got the chips, he's got the drinks, he's got all this. But is he? Is it latching on? Do people love him? Do you say, if you're in Oklahoma City, do you say, well, before I watch my Thunder, I got to tune in and watch Tatum? I don't know.
I think young kids like him. I think he's popular with kids. I couldn't tell you for sure. I only know what I
just don't feel like he's
perceive
a
around here.
Transformational star.
He's not that interesting.
He's not interesting.
He's
at
not
all.
Interesting. And I think Arkan, to your point, that's what you're seeing with 90% of your superstars right now. They're not like I went back and looked at the leading scorers from the 2013 season. Durant, LeBron James, Carmelo, James Harden, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, like Dwayne Wade. These are guys that you knew had personalities. You just don't see that with these guys on or off the court right now.
Especially where, like, for example, we can find anybody. If you're a star, we find you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are stars.
Yep.
Social media stars, football stars, the whole thing. I feel like they have a higher Q rating than Jason Tatum.
I'd agree with that.
And
I'd
he
agree
is
with that.
The defending champion, maybe the top. He's been all NBA three straight years, going to be mm-hmm. a four. Like, he should be an elite superstar. I don't know that he's on that pedestal.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he is. And I think another part of this has to do with the fact that there have been six different champions in the last 6 years.
That's going
to
change.
Well, I think so, too. And that's why Celtics fans should stop bitching, I think. You know, the NBA is no good anymore. You're about to be, I think we all think this, you're about to be the top dog. Mm-hmm. You're about to be a potential dynasty here. There are going to be teams lining up to try and beat you. There's going to be rivalries that come up out of this. That's why I'm so desperate for this team to have a rival. That's the way it works, and that's when the league gets interesting.
Right.
When there's a top dog and everyone's trying to knock them off. When it's a new champion every year, it gets kind of, okay, well, who's the best team? I don't really know. Everybody thinks it's the Celtics. Cleveland Cavaliers are having a better year so far this year, so I do think there's something to do with it there as well. What do
that's
you think?
That's classic storytelling, right? You got to have a protagonist and an antagonist.
Right.
If you have a bunch of antagonists, it's like, where's the story here?
Yeah, what's
right?
the point?
And we've talked about this. You were chasing Brady. You were chasing Jordan. You had a measuring stick, and they made stars of other people. Eli Manning's a nobody
mm-hmm.
without Tom Brady,
yep.
right? A nobody. Tom Brady put Eli Manning and the Giants over.
Yep.
The Celtics could become the Brady to put other teams as OKC, then knocks them off in 3 years. That lifts their star power because they knocked out Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I crossed my references
you
there,
certainly
but you got
did.
It.
And if you're ready for a big Mike Tyson reference, we got one coming up in the next segment. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. What do you think is a problem with the NBA? Why are they down 28% in the ratings? That's what I think. I think it has to do with the stars, the marketing, the different champions each year, and the fact that you don't really have a top dog right now. I think that's going to change, though. And Celtics fans, you should hold on and just be a little patient here because it's good to be in that conversation. It's good when you're the top dog. Here's Dan Ball with what's trending, and then we're right back with Bill Watch.
I like this song.
The Elvis. I like Elvis' version.
But you don't like this version?
It's all right.
Christmas tree.
He's got something against pigs?
I got something against people who stutter.
In like Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson stutter?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't know. I don't know if I could even remember listening to Bo Jackson talk very much. I mostly interacted with Bo Jackson through Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
That was my main interactions with him. I did, you know.
No, he didn't talk
a lot. I remember Bono's, Bono know this, but whatever. But
early in his career, he didn't talk a lot because he had a stuttering problem he had to work on.
Interesting.
That's why Paul Perillo, who knows I love Bo, used to always say, you're a guy, Bo. Bo.
Sounds like that song. Bo. Anyway, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand and Andy Hart. And for the last time, I think, maybe not, but probably for the last time, let's do Bill Watch.
Bill Watch.
Gonna miss that open, man. I really am. If you knew how much blood, sweat, and tears went into that open, you wouldn't make fun of it. You wouldn't mock it. You would say, wow.
Wait, people mock it?
People mock it sometimes. They say, why do you always talk about the open? You know why? Because we worked very hard on that open, as you can clearly tell.
Obviously.
At any
rate.
Might
win a Marconi. Are there Marconis for that?
There should be. Imaging Marconi? I don't know.
Yeah,
there certainly ought to be, yeah. And we should
nominate you guys.
Thank you. Bill Belichick, Bill Watch.
I don't have to pay or anything.
The Bill Watch has ended, I think, right? I
mean, has it?
I don't know if it has. Well,
after June 1st, the buyout drops from $10 million to $1
million. Still get bought out. That's true. But he said he didn't go there to leave. And he does have a job, and it is a job coaching, and it's coaching at a college program, and he's a UNC Tar Heel.
He's signing players from the portal from Holy Cross.
Right, which, you know, if that doesn't make it real, I don't know what does.
No disrespect to any offensive linemen or players at Holy Cross or any lower-level schools.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw that Bill Belichick got them to raise their NIL from $4 million to $20 million, and I personally said, well, you should be in the college football playoff, I did not envision that his talent pool would start at Holy Cross in Worcester.
I didn't think so either.
But good luck to him and his Holy Cross portal.
Anybody on the Lehigh team he wants to take a look at?
Oh, or, cheap shot.
Bucknell or I don't
cheap
know.
Cheap shot. Any Jumbos? Tufts?
Fordham?
Yeah, Bows.
Yeah, right? The Bows? Anybody on the
Bows? Wide receiver did go in the portal from Tufts to USC last year.
Well, I'll excuse me.
So suck on that, Arcand.
Okay. Yeah, I sort of agree. I mean, we're all talking about Quinn Ewers. We're talking about attracting all this big talent. First move, he's like, I got this guy at Holy Cross. You just got to see to believe. And that's the first signing there.
Did you
for,
watch
UNC.
Some of his appearance on McAfee yesterday when he was talking about like truly enjoying signing these guys and them getting paid for
right.
their work? And it was like,
it's like, who are you?
Yeah, it was very weird.
Who is this guy?
Is it? So,
I can't wait to pay these young kids, you know, to play college football. Like, no coach thinks that, you know? Like, maybe
right.
prime time when it's his kids. But, like, no coach is like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to make millionaires out of these 17-year-olds.
Right. A coach whose best friend is Nick Saban, who just
right.
quit the business because of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
I just, so you,
maybe
okay.
he's got a new outlook with his lady friend, you know, maybe that sort of opened his eyes to the,
sure.
to the way things are.
Not going to say anything.
Stuff out there for Gen Z, you know, there's not a lot of kids get out of school. They're crippled with debt. You know, it's hard to get good paying
they
jobs
live with their
right
parents.
Away. They live with their, you know, this is the way it is.
Or the guy who's the age of their parents.
Right.
Or they got to find someplace.
Their grandparents. Yeah, that type of thing.
No, I just, it definitely struck me, and I didn't know whether it was fake as all get up because he's just playing the game that he's in right now and doing business is done, or is there this weird release that now he's like Grandpa Bill just helping out the young kids reach their dreams of getting to the NFL
and
them making a little money along the way. I don't know. I don't know if I buy it, not. Right now, we'll see. If he's still there come September, it'll be a first step towards me buying more of
it. What's weird about it is that, you know, you think of Paterno, and I know what we thought about him towards the end there, but like in the prime of Joe Paterno, he was such a fixture at Penn State.
Yeah.
And he lived there, and he'd have the kids come to his house, and the wife would make the food, you know? Like, I mean, it was this whole thing. It was this whole sort of cult of personality with Paterno, but he was there for 40 years, whatever it was. Bill just got to UNC. It's weird for like an old coach to get a new job in a completely different medium than he was in prior to that, and then be expected to have the kind of cachet that's built up like someone like Paterno had for 40 years, or Saban, or, you know, Sweeney, or any of these other people who have been doing it a long time. And those guys aren't old, but they're not as old as Bill anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
Everyone expected, well, it's Bill Belichick. Everyone's just going to want to line up and go play there. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some people who are attracted to the idea of going and playing for Bill Belichick, but he's new to that whole thing. He's new to the whole college football landscape. It's not something you just walk into and immediately you're Joe Paterno. You know, I just don't think it works like
so
that.
So where would you put Carolina with Belichick in 2024/2025 with $20 million to spend,
mm-hmm.
which for whatever comparison, was in line with Ohio State and Texas from last year.
Is it 40 million?
It was 20 that
it's
I saw.
20?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because those schools were at 20. 40 would be double what those schools spent last year.
All right, never mind.
Where would you rank him? Is he a top 10 attractive program right now? All told, money, bill, Carolina Blue, Carolina's a great school, pretty good location. Like, all the total package that you're sold on North Carolina.
Top 10, no.
Top. Do you think Colorado's a top 10 program?
No.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Just want to make sure. See what
I think they're I think they're closer than UNC is to the top 10. I just think that already you've seen some results there. Deion's made a bunch of kids famous and a lot of money and, you know, the path to the NFL. Now, once all these guys go pro, I mean, that's going to be a big boon for him if he stays. I don't know if he's going to or not, but so long as he's there, he's established himself now as a draw. Bill hasn't done that necessarily yet.
Correct. Now, the connection to the NFL, Deion is the flashier, sexier, more modern connection to stardom football business.
Sexier, it depends who you ask.
Well, yes. Whereas, don't you think Bill is probably the more, the direct approach to the NFL? Like, if you don't care about the money, the flash, the Nike, the Prime, the sunglasses, if you really say, Dad, you're sitting down with your dad talking about places to go, wouldn't you go to North Carolina and Bill? Don't you think he has legitimate connections in the NFL and he's going to coach you in a way that might actually prepare you for the NFL? Maybe that's a myth, but I still buy into that.
Yeah, I think so. Although I'm starting to wonder, based on the lack of interest in Bill and his coaching services around the league, how strong those connections really are these days. You know, like, there's still people he may be in contact with and he can say, hey, you know, I got a guy here who would be great in your system. But
he got Joe Judge the Giants job.
Right.
He can't get some lineman a look.
He can't get himself a job, Andy.
Because he's 140.
All right. Well,
but
maybe
this lineman.
People also don't love his judgment lately either. It could be yeah.
Well, that's a different issue. But I think his reputation, his references would carry more value than his own resume. Because his own resume has his age on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it is what it is. Whereas if he says, I know football. I know. If he says some guy is a great defensive end, I get him at North Carolina. I'm telling you, this guy can do it all on the edge. This guy is, I've coached Lawrence Taylor. I have coached Matt Judon. Mm-hmm. I've coached Richard Seymour. This guy is a Pro Bowl NFL lineman. Don't you think that carries weight?
I think it does.
I do too.
I think it does. But I also think if Alabama has a guy who's on the edge and, you know, they're looking at one guy or the other, are they going to go with Bill's recommendation? Or are they going to go with the guy who got scouted and picked at Alabama? Like, you know, I wonder if that's going to matter early on
the first year or so.
The
point is he can help try to transition that guy from high school or portal, whatever, to that prospect. He's selling them on that. Like, Jacoby Brissett's an example. By all accounts, Bill Parcells kind of molded his pre-draft process.
Yeah.
And Parcells' view of him and recommendation probably helped him get drafted a little bit higher to New England than he deserved to be, quite honestly. And I think Bill can do that, especially for his own players. If he's coaching them and he's getting them to succeed to some degree, obviously there has to be tape. There has to be something before their eyes to see what they're doing. But then if he talks about the work ethic and the kid and he's focused, he's not flashy like those Colorado kids.
Right.
He's focused on the right priorities right now.
Yeah.
He wants to be a great NFL player.
The only thing that Bill needs to avoid is being Mike Tyson.
Sororities.
He needs to, well, that too. Or, well, you know, maybe not. Who knows? He needs to avoid being Mike Tyson.
What does that mean?
Don't be Mike Tyson. I think a lot of people are assuming, like they did with Mike Tyson and this Jake Paul thing, that Bill Belichick was going to just walk into UNC and dominate, just like Tyson's going to go in there and he's going to slug the crap out of this young kid. And here comes Bill Belichick, old Bill Belichick. It doesn't matter that he's old. It doesn't matter that he's old and he hasn't had success in a while and that he really didn't ever do much without Tom Brady. I remember Bill Belichick. I remember how awesome he is. He's going to go down there to UNC and kick some ass and take some names, and they're going to be in the playoff in the next year, and they're going to win the national championship and blah, 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 blah. And I think that there's a little bit of the Mike Tyson sort of nostalgia kicking in right now, and people wanting that to happen, and people sort of wish casting, remembering the good times, and thinking, oh yeah, Bill still got it. He's going to be able to go out there. Tyson still got it. Just one uppercut, and Jake Paul's going to be out. I don't know. I think Bill might be a little bit more on the Tyson side than he is on the Paul Brown side. You know, that's sort of how I look at it, on the Saban side or any of these other great coaches who were really effective in college. I think that Belichick has the potential to be someone that a lot of us expected of And when he gets there and realizes all the stuff that goes into it and the fact that maybe he doesn't relate to these kids as well as he thought he would, this could end up not going so well. And I think that that's something that Belichick faithful certainly don't want to hear. But listen, I can't even tell you how many people I talked to that were convinced that Mike Tyson was going to walk into that ring and knock Jake Paul's head off. And you know, just, there was no chance of that happening.
Were they really convinced or did they want to be convinced?
I think it's both of those things. I think people want to be convinced of this Belichick thing, too.
Yeah, I think there
He's going to go and win and stick it to the Crafts and we're rooting for you. Root for him, fine. I'm rooting for him, too. But I don't think it's a guarantee he's going to be successful here. No way.
I don't think it's a guarantee, but I think he should be. Because I still think he's a pretty good coach in terms of X's and O's and those types of things. And they're going to spend $20 million. Now, I'm a little disheartened by where they started to spend the money. Like you, I was thinking Ewers. It's like the Red Sox.
I know.
We're looking at Soto, and they sign, who is that guy's name? Justin Wilson.
Justin Wilson, yeah.
And okay, I was...
Bill just got his Justin Wilson.
Can we aim up a little higher with our expectations and our hopes and our targets? But, no, I think he should be in the playoff next year. That's the pressure I'm putting on him. Why not? And I heard Tom Curran say it to the Midday Show with Jones and Keefe. He should be expected to be in the college football playoff. You're going to spend $20 million on a roster. You're Bill Belichick. You're supposed to be the GOAT coach. The GOAT coach. So coach him up. You can't win enough games in the ACC to make the playoff. We've gone over their schedule.
It's not too bad.
No.
No.
Win games and
ACC
get to the playoff.
ACC is not all that strong. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a good conference for a guy like him to be in, but I still think that people are really overselling the idea that Belichick is going to be killing it here.
We got some good calls coming in.
I can't wait. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Brian in Quinton. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, I was just listening to, you know, I'm from Clinton, so Central Mass.
Clinton, okay.
And about
yes.
the whole yeah, I'm not calling from the old-timers, but yes. but yeah, talking about the Holy Cross whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And it just made me... think back to, do you remember when in 1988, the last time Notre Dame won a national championship, Pat Eilers transferred from Yale, and Lou Holtz did everything to basically not want him. And he ended up, if you watch, I'm sure you have, Catholics, Convicts, whatever, that whole documentary. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, it's a must watch. And he was... It's just instrumental to that, the last time they ever Notre Dame won a national championship. So to think of Belichick taking someone from Holy Cross and trying to coach him up, I mean, geez, why is it so out of the realm of reality? I mean, look what he's done. I get it. You can go back to the last 4 years or whatever, but man, Gronk had how many surgeries or back problems in college? He mm-hmm. still took him and made him a superstar.
He did. He also picked N'Keal Harry, Brian. So, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of misses there, too. And listen, this kid from Holy Cross might be Pat Eilers. I have no idea. We were just sort of joking. That was also 1988.
It was a different time.
It's kind of a long time. It was 40 years ago. So, I mean, you know, there's been some advances, I'd say, in college football since then. The NIL thing certainly is part of it. And I think when you're talking about bringing in A-plus talent, you don't necessarily look to Holy Cross, but, you know, whatever. Maybe this kid's going to be, what is he, an offensive lineman? Maybe he's
yes.
going to be he's going to be a blue chipper and he's going to play in the NFL someday. I have no idea. I just thought that was an interesting place to begin.
You yes.
know, it's where you're starting your whole thing
And
up.
Bill developed players. That is true
right.
over the years. He also was the beneficiary of a lot of elite talent,
true.
Hall of Fame talent. The
yep.
Richard Seymours, the Tom Brady's. Rob Gronkowski was an elite talent. The back surgery that the caller referenced was the only reason people had questions about him.
It's true. Jim is in Weymouth. He's mad at me. Go ahead, Jim.
Arkin, you cannot be that dumb
yes,
making that analogy
yes,
with
I
Mike
can.
Tyson.
Oh, I certainly can be that dumb.
First of all, that wasn't even a real fight. That was a money grab for both. It was completely scripted. And you're making the analogy of Bill going to North Carolina and hoping he's not Mike Tyson.
Yes.
I mean, that was not a real fight. You know that, right?
You think Tyson could have knocked out Jake Paul if he really wanted to, Jim? You're still on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely he could have.
He looked like a teething baby in that fight. He's chewing on his gloves. Like, come on. He's 60 years old. You think he's going to beat up some 26-year-old? Like, come on. He could. 20 years ago, Mike Tyson was getting knocked out by journeyman boxers, and this was when he was in his 40s. Now he's in his 60s, and he's going to knock out Jake Paul? This is what I'm talking about. People still don't get they can't get it through your head, Jim and Weymouth. It's not the same anymore. Bill Belichick's not Bill Belichick anymore. And I don't think Mike Tyson's clearly not Mike Tyson anymore. That's the I hate to tell you, it's the truth. That's the way it is. And unfortunately, that's the way it is.
And to take it in the opposite direction, Jim, how do you know this is a real job for Bill Belichick?
Right.
How do you know Bill is fully and totally invested and this isn't just a $10 million money grab for him? That he's like going to go and put on a good show and kind of play the game, but he might not be all invested because the Bill Belichick that won with the Patriots was all in.
Mm-hmm.
He was all in for two decades. Yep. He was year-round, 24-7. He started to get criticized when he started showing up in Barbados on swim platforms and free agencies going on, right? Like, early career Bill was 24-7, 365. NFL stood for no family life. That's how he lived it. I don't know if he's going to do that at North Carolina, if he's going to be there as much as some of the other coaches that he's competing against that are trying to build their legacy, prove themselves.
When he was in his 40s and 50s, too, by the way, was when it was all happening. Now he's in his 70s.
Right.
He's in his 70s. You think that's Joe Paterno, they wheeled him up into the box and just had him up there with the binoculars. He wouldn't know what's going on. I don't think Belichick's going to be like that, but I mean, come on.
I don't know.
He's going to be 24-7 in there grinding tape on UNC and these high school kids? If that's what you think, fine. And I do think he's going to work hard at the job. I don't think he's going to mail it in. That doesn't seem like Bill Belichick to me. But the idea that he's just going to be a natural fit and it's going to all go great and all that, I think, is a little bit of wish casting. Like, people were wishing that Tyson was going to knock out Jake Paul. I stand by that analogy. 617-779-7937. When we return, the Boston Bruins, apparently very far apart in a contract extension for one of their tougher players. We'll get to that and where that may go next. It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here today. Why do we play that clip of Trent Frederick? I forget who we knocked out there.
The one puncher?
David Gustafson.
Gustafson, thank you very much. Gustafson, who was not a fighter.
Boom!
Only took one hard straight right there for that to be over. Trent Frederick, one of the tougher guys on the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a big-time goal scorer or anything like that, but a good teammate, hard worker, tough guy, willing combatant most of the time. He stands up for his teammates, not afraid to go out there, mix it up, and throw his fists around. Apparently, the Bruins have talked to Frederick about an extension, and they appear to be very, very far apart, like incredibly far apart. And I wonder, number one, who's far apart and why? Like, they were far apart with Jeremy Swayman. Jeremy Swayman was considered himself anyway, a top-tier goalie. What does Trent Frederick consider himself to be? Does Trent Frederick think that he should be getting what? Like, you know, like, that's sort of where I'm at. And what do the Bruins think Trent Frederick is? Because if they're very far apart, that to me implies that Trent Frederick is overvaluing himself to an extent that I'm not sure what it is, or the Bruins are undervaluing him, or some combination of both of those things.
Probably both.
Closer to the truth, I would say, is that it's a combination of those two things. But I also wonder if a person like Trent Frederick is coming out with unreasonable demands for his next contract extension.
I doubt it. Unreasonable in terms
of, he said to his agent, I want out of here. I don't want to play for this team anymore.
Oh, intentionally unreasonable.
So why don't you tell him that if we want an extension, it's going to have to be something crazy, and that's the only way you're going to get me to stay in this bleep show that's going on here in Boston right now. And I know that sounds weird. Bruins fan, oh, no, that's not how it is. Everybody loves playing in Boston. You're right, that's true. In the past, Bergeron, Krejci, all these guys, they love Boston. They wanted to stay here forever. Tuca, everyone. I mean, it was the place to be. Boston, playing in Boston was the hotness. Everyone's like playing in Miami in the early 2000s when LeBron was there. You know, it's what everybody wanted to do. They all wanted to come to Boston. I wonder if that's starting to fade away now. I wonder if people like Trent Frederick are looking around and saying, you know, I could be somewhere else doing more. I could be in a place that's a little less dysfunctional than this. I could be. Who knows? I mean, name a place. Like, that's sort of what I'm wondering, because I think there's potential for that to start happening here. You fired your coach. You did get a little bit of a bump after that. You started playing some real teams, and now all of a sudden you're getting your ass kicked again. You got Calgary tonight, who's pretty good. Like, I wonder. I wonder if maybe a little bit of that's starting to creep in.
Well, there's certainly a possibility. It's not there's no guaranteed winning. If anything, hell, people like you were wondering a little while ago if this was time to blow everything up.
Uh-huh.
Like, total organizational redo. Is that the kind of place where if you're a pending free agent, you're thinking about, yeah, I want to stay there. I mean, I have no idea what it's going to look like. Don't know who'll be coaching me. Don't know who'll be signing me. Mm-hmm. Don't know who I'll be playing with. But yeah, sign me up for that. So you're right. They're probably, what do you call it, the suck tax?
The suck tax,
I don't know if they're quite in suck tax range, but you need to convince me financially that the insecurity elsewhere in the world of Bruins hockey mm-hmm. is worth it. I think that's a fair argument to make. He's not a star. So he's certainly not, like you said, Swayman.
Right.
He's not a guy that thinks, but he's going to make money. He will be paid handsomely to play hockey in the NHL next year, right? Like, he's on that level
yes.
of player.
He is.
Because it's funny, I was reading some stuff from Fluto like a week or 10 days ago. His slow start, were you thinking about your contract? And some of his quotes were like, I've always felt like a guy that always thinks about his contract, like his next contract. Like, you can be replaced in the NHL. I've never felt like I was a guy that was on sure footing, mm-hmm. that kind of mentality.
Right.
And now he's probably like, yeah, I do want to get a little stability financially and otherwise. And do the Bruins look like a stable organization right now?
At the moment, no, they don't.
No.
Here's what Elliot Friedman at Sportsnet up in Canada had to say. He said, there are definitely some teams out there that feel the Bruins and Frederick won't be able to get a deal done. He's the kind of player that playoff teams are going to want. They're really going to want a guy like that. He's a good teammate, competitive, likes to fight, very popular teammate. So I think there's a lot of interest in him. We'll see where it goes. But whatever the Bruins' intentions are here, they're getting a lot of calls about him. Mike Grinnell, who's the producer over at Spittin' Chicklets and who I taught everything he knows, by the way, when we worked together at ESPN New Hampshire. He was an intern up there. I taught him all about production. He's clearly taken that and done a lot with it. But, yes, I'll
look
tell you what. You ask Mike Grinnell, who taught him everything he knows, will say Arcan did. Mike Grinnell says,
interesting.
I've heard the Bruins and Frederick aren't even in the same stratosphere for a contract yet. Who knows what will happen? But sounds like they aren't close as of now. And, yes, I do realize how much I just sounded like Gary Tanguay when I just said that. I taught him everything he knows. Hey, I broke him into the business.
Everybody hated Gary
Tanguay.
He
owes it all to me.
He was a nice fellow.
Tanguay's the best.
Yeah.
I love Tanguay.
Gambia.
I'm one of the only people that Tanguay doesn't take credit for making into a star. Maybe because I'm not a star. But, yeah, it's one of the
I was going to say, the implication there was you're
true.
A star.
I know. Well.
The ego on this guy.
Afternoon drive at WEEI.
Host
you know?
One.
I mean, listen, host one. Maybe not a star, but you know, I got a pretty good job right now. You know what I mean. He takes credit for everybody,
yes.
Tanguay, except me. So there you go. Although the one time I ever worked on TV at NBC Sports Boston, it was with Tanguay.
You were only on NBC Sports Boston once?
Well, he blinked a million times and then they didn't have him back.
That was the story.
I asked Arcan like a couple weeks ago and
Blinker.
All honestly, he was like, man, I just blink too much. I can't help it.
No
did you really?
No one's told me that. No one at NBC Sports Boston told me that. It's just what I think. It's my own insecurity.
Do you have a
I
clip?
Think that's what it is.
That we could post and mock?
A long time ago. You could probably find it online. If you look up Arcan, NBC Sports Boston,
DB,
you can probably find
assignment,
it online.
Challenge.
I don't think I blinked that much. I remember what we talked about. We talked about Martellus Bennett. We talked about something about Julian Edelman.
You're so blinking a lot year, right now while talking about
whatever,
it.
I blink a lot all the time. Whatever year Bennett was there, whatever year Martellus Bennett was on the Patriots, it was like in the winter of that year.
Martellus.
Martellus Bennett, not Michael. Martellus the tight end. I remember we did a segment on him, and Pete Prisco said something about him, and we did a whole segment on that. So whatever it was, but that was the one time. It was back when they were in Burlington.
Oh, a while ago.
So it was a long time ago. And then I was doing nights for a long time, so I couldn't have done it anyway, even if I wanted to. And now that I'm back to a normal schedule, they have not reached out to me. So you've got to make of that what you will. I think it's the blinking. I'm trying to work on it. I can't really. There's nothing I can do. It's like an involuntary thing.
How do you stop blinking?
I don't know. I mean, I don't need to blink so much, I guess.
But if you don't blink, you're going to stare or something, or you're going to bug out.
I know.
There's something is going to be an adverse about. Effect from not blinking.
Yeah, none of this screams TV right now.
No. Right? I just don't know.
Something
don't know
to
what
work
to do
on.
About it. But what are you going to do? I gesture a lot, you know, like I got a lot going on.
I think that's fine. If people think you're engaged with the topic, I think that actually endears you to the viewer.
Well, we'll see. I mean, there's no way to know because they don't.
Or it's a hostage video.
It could be that,
blink
too.
Blink once if you're safe, twice if you want out. 1,000 times, I don't know what 1,000 blinks means.
Blink once if you want Mayo fired. Blink twice if, yeah.
Yeah.
Blink 875,000 times.
If you never want to do TV again.
If you don't want to be on TV again here at NBC Sports Boston, which our defined friends over there. My phone is open. I don't have you blocked.
It'll ring anytime.
Anytime you
want to
call.
Even during the show, and he'll accuse somebody else of having their phone on. Yeah,
that's true, because no one calls me. By the way, no one actually called. It was another one of those
spam
phone calls.
Likely.
That's all I get. I just get spam calls. That's pretty much it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Patriots, dysfunctional and reeling after this loss to the Arizona Cardinals. And you know who ripped them the hardest? Not me. Not Andy. Not Breer. Not Chris Curtis. Mike Reese.
Ouch.
Mike Reese. Just went
cuts the deepest.
No holds barred. Hit him up to make a reference there. Just lambasted them in his notes column today. We will get to that next.